name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Let's sing the chorus again. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. I was alone in the darkness, I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me, He turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Sing the second verse.
Swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story. How He brought me to the other side. I'm
saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Let's sing the chorus. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away.
I don't think we have any problem relating to that. We don't deserve the grace that we've received. We've got several prayer requests this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Debbie Milam is praying for health and salvation. Also, my grandmother, Mae Manuel, has a heart blockage. Please pray for her healing. Prayer request for Sister Noma Jeffries from down in Georgia. Her son, Mark Jeffries, he's my age. He's been diagnosed with colon cancer, and they've told the family he has 1 to 2 weeks to live. Please pray for him and his loved ones. She just lost her husband just a few years back. So let's remember Noma. That's got to be a terrible time she's going through. Just Lord's will be done there. And then remember Joe Hara. He's unable to be in church. He's having a lot of problems with his back. So let's remember Joe. I'd like for the church to pray for my aunt. Her name is Mary. She's going to be undergoing surgery for a tumor on her brain on Wednesday morning. Also, in the past 3 weeks, they found out she has Parkinson's. That's from Sister Lita Beard, so let's remember that. We'd like the church to pray for my sister, Becky Records. She's going through a hard time right now, needs prayer and salvation for her and her family. And also, we want to pray for Sister Rachel Estep. Legs are in pain all the time. She needs healing so she can come to church, so let's remember that. Also, let's pray for Ellie Parker. She had to go to walk-in clinic today. So just remember little Ellie. Please remember an old school friend of mine in prayer. His name is John Sullivan. He's having some severe health problems, so remember that. And also for Brother Frank Williams, he's having surgery on a rotator cuff on July 18th. So let's pray that will go smooth. If we'll stand this morning, Brother Terry, come and just take these needs to the Lord.
It's sure good to be back in the house of the Lord again this morning. How many people of you really appreciate your shepherd, your pastor? We really do appreciate our pastor, our shepherd. A little something that came to me last night, I thought I would just share it with you about a shepherd. During World War II, when they would send those B-17s and different bombers into Germany and so forth, and when they would get shot up and not crash, but the airplane would be so crippled, but it couldn't fight any longer, and it'd have to return home. Well, whether the navigator would get killed or something, or it was made itself an open target, you know, for the enemy to come get us, it was crippled. They'd send in a special airplane, another fighter, to escort him back home. To escort the crippled airplane back home. And that special other airplane, it was named a Shepherd. And I thought, well, you know, the Shepherd was sent to help the crippled get back home. And I'm thankful that God's given us a Shepherd to help the crippled to get back home. Amen. Let's bow our heads and take these requests before the Lord. Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to invite your presence. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can come back into the house of God. You've given us a desire to serve you. If that desire had not been there and would not be there, Lord, it would just be a lodge or a club or a protracted meeting. But, Lord, we've come here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I just kind of even saw in the news a couple of nights ago something about some basketball star was returning back to Cleveland. They kept calling the King is back. The King is coming home. And the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis, there's all kinds of kings, Lord, but there's just one King. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're so thankful that we serve the true and living God, the only true King there really is. And God, we're thankful this morning that you are among us. You come present. We pray for these needs. I believe our sister down in Georgia had the colon cancer. Touch her, Lord, and make her well. And Brother Joe Hare, every one of these requests that I hold in my hand, Lord, they're needy requests, and they're many requests, Lord, and we cannot heal, we cannot deliver, we cannot bring to pass any of these things, Lord. That's the reason we pray to you. You received those 39 stripes in Pilate's judgment hall, that each one of these individuals could be healed. The promise has been made. The price has already been paid. You have asked one thing. Can we appropriate that faith? If we can bring our faith to that level, then it's a given that we shall receive our healing. I pray for each one. I pray for Brother Donnie as he brings the word of the Lord. Thank you for our shepherd. Lord, may he just guide the sheep a little bit farther until we get so close to home that you'll come and take us across that great divide. I pray, Lord, this morning that you anoint him to speak, anoint our hearts to hear, and may each person rejoice. We pray for Brother Junior. We pray for my wife, Alice. Touch her back. Relieve her of that condition. Heal her. Make her altogether well. And each one that had an unspoken request upon their hearts, unsaved loved ones, somebody outside the ark of safety. Father, we know we are so close to the termination of this world as we know it. We look around. We see Israel. We see the Middle East. We see the tensions everywhere, how it's escalating. Violence has covered the earth like it was in Genesis. Once again, but Lord, truly, the cup of iniquity is full, and you're going to come and take your children home real soon. We want to be prepared. We're making ready for that great final hour. Touch, save, bless, fill. May we be blessed, Lord, in this service this morning. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated this morning.
Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. said, I walked on the water. I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you. Just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears her voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before. And I'll do this little thing. And I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water. I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Do you remember?
He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, Dad,
to come. Let's sing that Wasn't That Love. Lou, it's an F. See. Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as he wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home. Wasn't that love? He heard the mob yell.
just what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Oh, but he rose up from the grave so I can rise up today. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Amen. Anytime, any place, anywhere. We've got a song from the choir this morning. If they'd like to come and be getting ready to sing, Sister Cindy and the choir. Let's sing Anytime, Any Place, Anywhere as they come and get ready.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet you there anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine. Thank you.
And we're singing. Oh, you changed me, Lord. I won't go back. I won't go back. Thank you.
Tamika. I think Sister Tamika has a song for us. She wouldn't mind to come.
Satisfy my soul, and I stand amazed at the blessings I've known, and still till this day, the mercies you've shown make it clear to me that you love me. You hear each breath that I breathe. You cover the skies with beauty for me. You've proven that you will provide all my needs the way you fill me, Lord. How could I ask for more? And I'm satisfied, Lord. Joy this brings, oh, how my spirit sings.
could be said that would be greater to know that Almighty God would be satisfied. When you think about it, there's probably very few things in life, very few people in life that we're really satisfied with. Even your wife, even your husband, even your children, some of your best friends, your pastor, song leaders, musicians. So, well, I really like everything about him except for, and then the list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. But if Almighty God could say, I'm satisfied with you. I'm satisfied with the way you live, the way you act, the way you represent me. If you're so poor that you can't go through a drive-thru at McDonald's after church, you're so poor that you barely survive from one paycheck to the other. But if God says that about you, you are one of the richest people that have ever lived on this earth. We've got a baby to dedicate today. Brother Brian, Sister Shane Wiggins, if they'll bring the little son, we'll dedicate him to the Lord before we go into the Word. Jesus, as we come before you today, Father, how grateful we are, dear God, for the gift of life. How precious life is given to us, and we are so grateful. Dear God, as my brother and sister bring your little son before you today to be able to dedicate his little life to you, I pray, Father, that you'd give them the strength and the ability to be able to raise him the right way. Help them, Lord, to understand that much of what he will become if time should tarry, he would become a young man and an adult. Much of that will be determined by what they input into his life, the values that they teach him, the character impression, what they place upon him. May you help them, Lord, I pray. Dear God, the evils, the diseases, the sickness, the things that are so prevalent in this day, I pray, Lord, you'd keep him from it. Lord, if time should tarry, that he would be old enough to be able to accept you. May he be able to do it while he's young, before the days become evil. We dedicate his little life to you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, Betty. Let's stand together today and turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'd like to speak to you again today on warring against darkness. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now let's read also in Jude chapter 1, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Fathers, we thank you once again for the opportunity that's been given to us as mortals in this stream of time. that we'd be able to gather together today, Lord, under the auspices of your divine presence. Lord, we're asking that you would help us once again. Father God, we so love you with all of our hearts. And as we approach your word today, we know that we stand in your great providence, and we stand, Lord, in need also. Dear God, you know what we need for this day, for this hour, for this time. I pray that you would help us. Help me to get out of the way, that I would be able to speak as it were the oracle of God. Dear God, I hold in my hand a couple of prayer cloths for needs of the saints here, Lord. I just ask that you'd be mindful of them, Father. I pray the presence of God would just anoint our hearts to be able to receive. Help me, Lord, that I can be able to go high enough to be able to pull them up with me, but not so high that it would overwhelm them. Help me to be able to find that place that is pleasing to you, and that sphere, dear God, that would be the most beneficial to this body today. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to background just for a couple of verses here of Scripture for what we looked at last night for those that wasn't with us. I want to look again in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And look with me at the meaning of this word. Wrestling, a contest between two, and when which each endeavors to throw the other, which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. The term is transferred to the Christian struggle and the power of evil. So Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which the Greek word there is arche, which is where we get the word archangel from. Arche is the first one, the preeminent one, the first one in order of creation. So this is what we're warring against, actually. He makes it clear that we're not fighting with bodies, with human beings, that we're not fighting flesh and blood. One of the greatest mistakes that we can make as the people of God is to fight one another. Fight our brothers and sisters, or even Christians fighting sinners, because Satan has been able to divert you away from the real enemy whenever you do that. So Paul says we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now think what your enemy is. It's not a human being. It's not your husband, your wife, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, a rebellious son. It is actually rulers of the darkness of this world. How could we ever be equipped to fight such a host, such an army as this? You can see why that Satan would want to divert us. And you can imagine that us as human beings, that we would comprehend and think in our mind that it would be easier for us as flesh beings to fight other flesh beings. It would be much easier to fight an enemy that you could see than it would be here you are in a visible realm trying to comprehend and understand invisible powers. I mean, how many of you know very much at all about a principality? What does a principality even look like? What does it feel like? What does it do? What is its influence? Tell me, what do you understand about a power? What do you understand about a ruler of the darkness of this world? Explain to me their dominion. Explain to me what they fight with. Explain to me what they talk about. Explain to me how they come against us. We know very little about them. But if they will, then a principality would move upon a human being that we are in touch with, one that we know. Then if we're not careful, it's so much easier for us then to make that human being our enemy. Then we begin to focus on them. We will say things about them, and we will interact with them in an opposing way. They say things about us, we say things about them. They do things toward us negatively, we do things toward them. What are we doing that for? Because we can understand a human fighting a human better than we can understand a human fighting a demon, which is invisible. So we will tend then to focus all of that sort of thing that's built up on the inside of us toward a visible realm. And when we've done it, we have totally missed
what God wants for us to do. And Satan may not be able to pull us into sin as far as doing things that are wrong and doing things, say, of the world. But when our enemy becomes diverted and we become off of the hidden track of what God wants it to be, my friend, whether or not you will say amen to this, you have become defeated. Now, watch this. Let me read this to you again. That the loser, for the word that Paul uses here for a child of God to be identified in a wrestling match, as it was, the city of Ephesus was very familiar with the Olympic Games and all that that would have taken place. I've stood there in many of those places and seen the Colosseums that they had, and know that they was a great entertainment. They didn't have television. They didn't have things that we have today. So they had a lot of games by which they would entertain the people. So there was a Colosseum there in the city of Ephesus. So when Paul would have mentioned the wrestling of a child of God against principalities, these people would have been able to understand what a wrestling match was. And I read it to you last night. But the loser in a Greek wrestling contest had his eyes gouged out, resulting in blindness for the rest of his days. So you can imagine then, whenever these Christians heard Paul likening the walk with God as being a Christian wrestling against a principality, a power, a ruler, immediately in their mind they would have taken, because no doubt many of them would have been to a wrestling mat, they would have seen the victor with the little crown of the leaves that was plaited together, placed upon his head, and they would have also saw, because it would have taken place in the Colosseum, they would have saw the victor or the mayor or whoever it was at this particular setting walk down to the defeated one, and they would see them take a poker or take their fingers or take an iron instrument and gouge their eyeballs out of their face. They would have seen them take two strong fingers and poke in there, or seen them take a hot heated iron and set their eyes as it were on fire. And they would have imagined in their mind, you've got to be kidding me. So this is the way that I will be treated if I lose the battle. Can't you see why people go blind spiritually when they lose the battle with the Word of God? Now, let me tell you something, friend. This is not something to play with. This is not a game we're talking about. Unless you win in this day, you will be smitten blind in Laodicea. That's exactly right. So here, a Christian's walk then is identified in a very, very simple term, and that is a wrestling. So who are we wrestling against? Is it a pastor against a sheep? Is it against a sheep against a sheep? A mother against a father? A daughter against a son? What is the wrestling about? There will be instruments. Human instrumentality is what Satan will always choose. You know, the devil never comes actually in a church and try to cause a split in the church himself. If he would actually come up and really appear the way he is, if many of you would see a demon in the true reflection of his character, and he was not trying to put on a hypocritical front, most of you would be like me. You'd be scared to death. I've seen some of them in my life, and my walk with God is fine with me, and if I never see another one, because every time I've ever seen them, it's not a very pleasant sight to behold. But if they would appear in that way, most of us would be afraid, would never want anything to do with them. But if they would appear in the form of a human being that is under the influence of that very same demon, and they might have something that, you know, that you want to listen to, something that you want identified with, then you would be identified with that person under the influence of that same demon that would scare you to death. But because the imagery by which they choose to project their real meaning and purpose is one which can be deceitful, many of us, if you'll say amen, you know it's the truth, many of us have been identified and been taking sides with the wrong thing before. We would have not visibly taken a side with the demon. We would have not willfully taken a side with the demon, but we took the side with a complainer in the church, or somebody that didn't like this or didn't like that or whatever more, and yet behind them was a voice. You understand what runs America today? What runs the nations of the world? It is demons. America has demons which are prevalent over the nation. Germany has national spirits. Finland, Norway, all these countries, they have spirits. Now, you want to think, oh, no, sir, that's not it. It's the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats and the Republicans are under the influence of the demons which control the United States of America. The liberals and whatever more in Israel, and the conservatives, all of that, that's just a political name, but they're just a ploy. The real thing behind them is demonic powers. That's exactly right. Now, it'll be the same way with your life. If you will allow your life, there will be demons which will attach themselves because of strains and certain traits that run in your family. Whether you're Reagan or Smith or Brown or whatever you are, there's certain traits and strains that run in your family. And without a prevalent presence of the Holy Ghost in your life, those demons will attach themselves to your family. And you'll find generation after generation after generation that run right on down through families. But that don't have to be that way unless you want it to be that way. It can be broken with you by the Spirit of God coming into your life and say, no more. I refuse to allow that thing to run in my family. Let it stop right here with me. Oh my. Paul says we wrestle not then against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So in order for the Christian life being a warfare, in order for us to be able to win this warfare, we must understand our enemy and understand what they're going to do, how they're going to move, and understand his changing weapons of warfare. Now, in one sense, they're very, very simple. In another sense, they're very complex and compound in the way that Satan will do it. We know that God chooses simplicity to reveal himself, but God also has a depth to his character. It's the same with Satan, because Satan is an impersonator. So Satan knows how to use very simple things, but he also knows how to complex those things to a human being, because being in the age of the man's mind, what we're living in, man will not take it if it's very simple. So Satan must compound it to meet up with this highfalutin educated age that we're in. But really, it's still very, very simple. It's one thing. Gets you to doubt your weapons. That's how he defeats you. Now, watch this. Brother Ram says this. The first battle that was ever fought was not fought on the earth. It was fought in heaven. Michael and his angels against Lucifer. And they were kicked out of heaven. That great army of the devil and all of his imps fell on the earth. And God knew there was going to be a battle. Now remember, this battle is not against human beings. It is against principalities and powers. And we are literally wasting our time when we fight other human beings. Instead of focusing on the spirits that's trying to use those human beings, when we start fighting people, you are losing the war. Well, I didn't figure y'all would like that very well. But to be honest with you, I really don't care, because I know it's the truth. And eventually in time, and you beat the daylights out of yourself, you'll come around and say that it was the truth. Now, because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do we believe this scripture? Do we believe this scripture? So our enemies, in the sense of the superiority power. Now remember, humans are instruments by which demons' powers will use them. But as I quoted to you last night, the prophet said, some that come between you and your brother. Remember, it's not your brother, but it is a spirit that comes between you. And it's absolutely amazing how we fall for such things. Not only is Satan strong, but Satan is cunning. And Satan has an element of wisdom, even though it is a worldly wisdom, and yet Satan has strategies by which he's able to use. And this is the word that Paul uses in Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the word wiles is cunning, crafty arts and strategies. So now this is sort of just in a synopsis of what our enemy is like. He's very cunning. He's very powerful. He's very deceitful. He's done this for thousands and thousands of years. He's got more experience than all of us put together ever since we've been serving God. You take all of our years and add it together, and the devil's got more experience than all of us together. But we're still going to whip him. He's got an experience with trouble. I've got an experience with God. He's got an experience with lying. I've got an experience with the Holy Ghost. He's got an experience with doing all this sort of stuff. I've got a new birth. So that makes me more than able to meet him. Watch this again. The devil is a great force. The devil has a great power. And the devil is great in his power. But he's under the power of God. And the devil, now remember this, the devil can only be at one place at a time. His imps can be everywhere. Now probably most of you and I have never probably had a personal battle with the devil himself. I know y'all think you rank high, but probably you don't. In reality, most of us probably deal with some of the lowest imps that there is on the list. Because the devil probably don't think of you quite as high as you do yourself. So if you knew which one was assigned to you, it might humble you. I mean, the guys that do the garbage routes, you know, in hell, the guys that take out the trash in hell, and they're the ones that's assigned to you, it might humble you a little bit there, pal. So most of us more than likely have never met Satan one-on-one, but I know this, from the ones that I've met with, they can be aggravating. I mean, they have a power that is delegated to them from the original creation of God, which was not taken to them after their fall. So Satan is omnipresent. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He cannot reach out and be able to be at one place by his omniscience at one time. So he can only be at one place at one time. But he delegates his imps or his demons, and they can be at your house, another be at my house, another at your house, another at your house, another at the White House, another and over here in Germany, here and there and there. And then they work under the headship of what Satan wants them to do. And it's all for the kingdom of hell and destruction. Now watch this. Brother Benham says this. He said the devil can be at only one place at one time. His imps can be everywhere, scattered out, his demons, his co-worker. But God himself is alone in the field of omnipresence. I love this because the devil can only be in one house at one time, but I can have the Holy Ghost and you can have it 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 and you can have it. People in South Africa, in Namibia, in Mozambique, all over the world, they can have the same Lord Jesus at the same time that you've got it. Why? Because he is omnipotent and he's omnipresent. Glory. Watch this. Again, he says the infinite God's going to choose for his army the best weapon that could be given. And he chose it, and it was his word. Now see, you didn't scream. Some of you didn't even say amen. Some of you didn't even nod, which is the message way of confirmation anymore. You know why? It's too simple. It's too simple. God gave his army the best equipment that it could ever use. Now notice this. And would never have to be changed. He's never changed it since. Since you don't improve it, it remains the same all the time. It's God's word that he fortified his people with. No matter how many things Satan ever gets, how many things any other army ever gets or anything, it can never take the place of God's first choice, his word. He gave them his word, his promise, and said, stay with it, and that's the best that could be known. Now, we know then, naturally, the character of our warfare, because we're living in 2014, has certainly changed to what it was in the days of Moses, in the days of Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, in the days of the apostles, in the days of Luther, Wesley, even the days when Brother Branham was sharing flesh. We know that it's changed really from what it was 5 years ago. We're fighting battles and going through things. The tactics are different. The trail of the enemy is different. Now, can you imagine that if an army somewhere in Europe would come out and they would drag out of their museums some of the medieval armor that was war of, say, in the times of the wars in Norway or the times of the wars in Spain. And they would go to the museum and they would bring out this medieval headdress and a medieval sword and a medieval spear and whatever more. And they would send these guys out on the battlefield to be able to meet some Muslim extremists. Or American soldiers that has all this high-tech thing on them, and they're going to meet them out there, and they got a bed, they got this best plate on it, but remember, it's real thin metal. And one bullet, one armor-piercing bullet, goes straight through, cuts your heart in two. Would you want to wear that to fight him? You wouldn't? Why? Why, it's a beautiful piece of history. I've seen some of those before. They're beautiful. The workmanship and the artisan, the ability of these men were beautiful. It might be pretty to look at, but I wouldn't want to wear it to fight with. Now, I thank God for Luther. I thank God for Wesley. But I don't want to drag the armor out of Luther's museum and meet the challenge of this day. I don't want to drag the armor out of the Museum of Pentecost. Oh, we used to be this and we used to be that. That's a museum. Look back at Azusa Street. That's in the museum. Come on, I'm coming on down to home. I don't want to just come back to 1955 when Brother Branham was here, or 1964 when Brother Branham was here. I need something that is current for the time we're living. You talking about a new word, Brother Donnie? Absolutely not. We don't need a new word. We don't need a new Bible. We just need light to shine on what God's already said. Brother Bam says it this way: the enemy knowed as long as the human race stayed with that word, he'd never be able to touch them. Now I'm beginning to feel religious right now. As long as the human race stayed with that word, God fortified his family on the earth, his army, in the fort of his word. That is our fortress. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. They're fortified. The Lord is the word. Praise be to God. The Lord is the word. They're fortified and safe evermore. As long as the human race stays in the word, as long as the church stays in the word, it's fortified. There's nothing going to bother it. Now you believe that and you said amen to it. But he really believes it. And he knows the way to defeat anyone that's a Christian: get him out from behind this word. For some, a false prophet will work, but not for everybody. For some, a cold creed will work, but not for everybody. For some, following signs will work, but not for everybody. So he's got something for everybody. No matter what your makeup is, the devil has something just custom fit for your appetite, for your makeup, for your nature, that'll try to pull you out from behind this word. Now, if we're going to fight with the word, what part of the word is it? Now, you can listen. It's okay for you to remain silent here since I'm asking you questions. It must be the word in season. Will any portion of the word defeat Satan when you're going through a battle? Now be careful. Lord have mercy. The seventh seal must open. It's so silent. Will any portion of the word combat anything you're dealing with? Now think about what I'm saying. It must be the word in season. It must be the word that applies to what you're dealing with. So if you've got a financial need, say, and then you apply this word: by his stripes, I'm healed. Now, unless you're just really, really deep and far out, I'm afraid you might have to explain that to me. What's that got to do with the financial need? Nothing. So you mean you'd apply the word and it wouldn't work? Well, what if we are fighting then this day, this hour, this challenge, and we try to apply the word of Luther? Under Luther's light, of the just shall live by faith. That'll do good if you're lost. But what if you've been serving God for as many years as I have, or as many years as some of you all have, and then I try to fight my battles with the just shall live by faith? Or what if I try to fight my battles now that I'm a Christian for, let me see, 46 years. I've been a Christian for 46 years. Been preaching for 39. And then I'm going through a really hard battle. My, I've been fighting such things. And I'm thinking, oh God, I need your word. God, I need your word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What? What? What are y'all looking at me for? Isn't that the word? Is there eternal life in that word? But does that word apply to what you're dealing with? Now watch this. Take on the whole armor of God. Brother Bam says it to us. The enemy knowed as long as the human race stayed with that word, he'd never be able to touch them. Can you imagine an enemy that studies you so well and knows if they stay with that word, they'll never, never fall? So if you was him, what would you want to do? Get them from behind Watch this. Look in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, if you would. Moses said unto the people, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Now I want you to notice that the word is progressive. Now Moses is not throwing down his staff as he did before Pharaoh, because now that portion of the word will not work. Praise the Lord. Now the word then must be in season. So God gives him a word, a rhema from God, which is exactly what they need. What do they need then? They've already applied the token. So do they need to reapply the token? Do they need to put the blood over the door? They do not. They need the word of God, which applies to their current situation. And they're facing the sea, and the Egyptians are to their back, and God gives them a word for that hour. And that word was, "Don't be afraid. For the Egyptians you see now, you'll never see them again." I really like this verse 14. "For the Lord shall fight for you." And this is very hard for us to do. "And ye shall hold your peace." I said that's very hard for us to do. "Oh my, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, by commanding the wind and the heavens and the seas and all that sort of thing." But now remember, it's amazing how this word applies for them. But when they come into the land of Palestine to possess their inheritance, we find a different word that's given to them. God marches with them and moves with them, and the walls of Jericho fall down flat one time. God sends hornets one time. God does things and once, maybe once or twice, and the rest of the time they have to do it. Now what if they would revert back and say, "Now wait a minute. God told the children of Israel whenever they first come out that we wouldn't have to do nothing, that he would fight for us. So let's take that word and apply that word to warring against the Amalekites." Verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love that? But there's only one problem. Moses is standing right here at the Red Sea, all of Pharaoh's armies, and they're mad by now because their firstborn's been killed. So they're coming with vengeance and wrath and anger. And God said, "Why are you crying to me? Get on out of there." Yeah. He said, "But God, there's a Red Sea in front of us." So? What's the big deal? You got a Red Sea in front of you. So what? Is God so unsympathetic? Is God so uncaring that he tells you to do something and an obstacle like a sea is laying in front of you? And God acts as if though it's nothing. It is nothing. Because he runs the AO Construction Company. Alpha Omega Construction Company. He not only builds bridges, but sometimes he just rolls back the water and puts a road right through the middle of the sea. So the Red Sea was nothing to him, which means it's nothing to you if you're in the line of duty. Oh my. Now watch this. You imagine Moses now as he stretches out his hand. You're familiar with the story. Let's go to chapter 15, verse 1. After God moves in a mighty way. Then notice what they do. They change their song. They sing and update their songs according to the current time they're living. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. They weren't singing it to one another. They weren't entertaining one another. They were singing it to the Lord. Oh my. And spake saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Wow, pretty good song, huh? Verse 3. See if you like this second stanza of the song. The Lord is a man of war. How did Moses know God was going to be a man? God at that time was not a man and had been. Christ comes into the projection. The Lord is a man of war. Not just a mere man, but a man of war. If you think Jesus wasn't a man of war, read the four Gospels and you'll find out totally different. Now watch, so the Lord then is identified with a man of war. This had never been said before. Abraham never called him this. Isaac never called him this. Jacob, Joseph, nobody up to this time had ever called God this. So here we've got the identification, the present tense word, identifying something about God they had no scriptural reference to prove. So what if you'd have come to Moses and said, I want proof. You said something about God today I ain't never heard. You said God was a man of war. First of all, I want to know how God, you figure God's even a man. And I want to know how you figure God is a man of war. Now, I've been left up to you as the followers of the message of that day to have confidence in your prophet or not. If you didn't, well, fine. If you did, that's fine too. Just depends on where you land. But you imagine the real children of God, and that Moses started singing this song, the Spirit giving it to him, and they heard it maybe once or twice or three times, and then they all kind of joined in. The Lord is my God. The Lord is my God. I will give him praise. I will build him a habitation. The Lord is my God. Everybody together now. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord. God is a man of war. We'll do a little black version now. The Lord is a man of war. All you need is three words. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. And some of you said, no. The Lord is a man of peace. That's only one of God's attributes. Here is another one of God's attributes. The Lord is a man of war. And when people attack God's bride and God's church and God's work, they're not just attacking human beings. They are attacking the man of war. Psalms 24:8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty. In battle. One of God's names is Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth, which means Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, a title that's used 285 times in the Old Testament. Wow, you mean it's used that many times? That must have some sort of significance, don't you think? So this is God's part of God's character. Now notice, Moses says the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. As the name implies that God has given complete existence to his promises. Now he is self-existing one. And when he projects his promises from his very being, from out of his bosom, then it is up to him to give those promises existence. Watch this. After the defeat of Amalek, Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. Now watch the word. We're talking about fighting the enemy. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And it means Jehovah is my banner. The name given by Moses to the altar which he built in commemoration of the discomfiture of the Amalekites. Now watch, here they are worshiping again. How come they don't revert back to that other beautiful song that the Lord is a man of war, that the Lord drowned Pharaoh in his chariots? How come he didn't do that? Because this one is more fitting to the battle they just went through. You all understand what I'm saying? If we are going to fight this hour, we cannot fight with history. We've got to fight with our living God in our midst. Or I tell you up front, we will be annihilated. You can take this sermon for as serious as you want to. But if you do not win in this age, you will be destroyed. If I do not win, I will be annihilated. So I don't see that I have an option. Are you still trying to weigh the balance and figure, do I have an option? What's the matter with you? How can you even think such a thing? You have no option if you want to be a child of God. Now a banner, of course, today it's somewhat different than it was then because of the way that our fighters will fight in stealth. But for many, many centuries and many thousands of years, a banner or an ensign or a flag, as it was a significant thing that was placed up in the sky on a pole. It would have, Judah would have had one, and Dan would have had one, Naphtali would have had one, and it was a symbol most of the time of an animal, whether it was a snake or a sheep or an eagle or whatever it was, an ox, and it would be a point by which the South used it, the North used it in the Civil War, and it was used in the Napoleonic Wars, it was used in many, many wars, so it'd be a battalion would have a certain identification. And they would have this banner or this flag by which you'd know what side you was on. So in the middle of the war, if everybody got all confused and didn't know which way to go, if you could see your banner held up on a hill, then you knew it was rallying time, and you would rally around that banner. So here the Moses says, the Lord is our rallying point. Let me tell you something, children. My rallying point is not Happy Valley. My rallying point is not Brother Brown. My rallying point is not Donnie Reagan. My rallying point is the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was He who raised from the dead. You rally about whatever you want to, but He is still my Jehovah Nissi. Amen. What's this scripture here in Psalms chapter 60, verse 4? The Lord has given a banner, which is Nisi, something lifted up, a standard or an ensign, to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of truth. Selah. Now this is a song as well, as you know. And Selah was a musical connotation which they broke the sentence there. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Oh, glory. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 2. Lift ye up the banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the noble. So a banner was a place by which you rally around. Remember, this had not been spoken. This is the first time this name of God had been uttered. So what if you were still worshiping at the Red Sea song? Praise the Lord. Well, y'all quiet this morning. They always tell me when the winds lay down, it's a good time to sow seed, though. Again, Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You mean to tell me that there has been people down through time that God Himself declared war with? It wasn't going to be just with one generation of Amalek, but from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation, until finally they were annihilated. Praise the Lord. Watch this now. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30. How Israel was to approach warfare. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you, according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Chapter 3, verse 22. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 2. And it shall be when you are come anigh unto the battle. Notice now the approach. That the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. So God has a banner, and God has a command of charge, and God has an order of battle. And that is for the ministry before the battle to come and give the people the charge. And the saints said, now this is what the preacher's going to say. I'm the greatest preacher in the message. There ain't nobody like me. I'm the most gifted man that... And they shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. We need more preaching like this. Now this is what the priests are to come and tell the people. Now they're not just going to stand up and remind them of a museum. Well, remember in the days of King so-and-so, and remember David and Goliath, and remember this and the other, but they must bring the truth present tense. He is going to point them in the direction. Don't be afraid. Look, if there was not a tendency for them to be terrified, why are they warning them about being terrified? Let's be honest. How many gets afraid of our enemies in this day? If I had five arms, I'd raise all them too. Y'all ever get terrified? Somebody raise your hand for me, please. Everybody raise your hand for me. Do you ever get afraid? Overwhelmed? And what will God do? He's so faithful. He's so loving. He's so merciful. He'll send a message to us to prepare us for battle. Oh, praise God. Though there may be references to the past, but he will always wind up in the present. So here's what they're going to say. Hear, O Israel, you approach this day in the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now, let's reverse this.
Greetings today, church. I want to tell you, it's a bad world out there. There's so much sin and darkness. I don't know how we're going to be able to make it. Even now, the Lord God, I'm all tore up. I don't know how in the world we're going to make it. It's getting so dark and it's getting so scary. We've got so many, many enemies. I'll tell you what, I think we need to start compromising here at the church. We need to become like all the political parties. We won't preach against this no more and say that's wrong no more and that's wrong no more. We'll just blast that old devil, but we won't call sin no more because I'm scared. I might get thrown in jail or something and I might lose my pension, my Social Security. Oh my goodness, and I don't know what in the world they'd do to us next time they put my picture in the paper this lifetime. They don't tell me what they'll do. I may put, so I think we need to enter a stage of compromise. Well, we don't preach no more. Now, can't you all imagine y'all rallying around that banner? Some of you yellow-bellied cowards, that's what you want. Because you're compromisers. You don't want to stand for nothing. So the preacher is supposed to come out and say, y'all ready?
Amen.
Three of you. Well, what's the rest of y'all going to do? Pack us three water? Man alive, we've got a big water bucket brigade here at Happy Valley. Me and Brother Amos and two or three more is going to fight the war, and the rest of you is going to bring donuts and coffee. Notice in the book of Judges. Now there are nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. So you mean God sends his children into the land of promise and God makes the decision that he's going to leave certain ones in there, pockets of them here and there and there and there and there. What for? To try Israel.
to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. We did not know the wars when Brother Branham was here. We did not know the wars of Allen and many of those days. But God has left the worst of all in this generation. You know what it's for? To prove you. It's to prove you, preachers. It's to prove me. It's to prove you, young people. Will you stand or will you compromise? Notice in verse 2, only that generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. And at least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, the five lords of the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon and from Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. They were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord. Don't you know God could wipe out every unbeliever, every infidel, whatever he wanted to. People strike against the word of God, do whatever he could, knock them everyone dead if he wanted to. Don't you understand why he's letting them go? It's to prove you. It's to prove who's on the Lord's side. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Psalms 18:34. David said, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel. Now let's pick this verse, shall we? Since there was no steel. Historically proved to me there was steel in the days of David. I love getting the devil on those spots. Now I love to take that thumb and just push on his nose till it flattens out. He looks like a pug bulldog. Now, while some of the rest of you is going to sit there and try to figure that one scripture out, the rest of us is moving on. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Psalms 144:1, a psalm of David, blessed be the Lord my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Boy, that's a real son or daughter of God. Then when a child of God just raises up their fingers like this, and devils go to backing away and running. Watch out, devil, my pinky's going. You better back up. Hallelujah. He don't just teach my hands to war, but he teaches my fingers how to fight. Now, does God ever consider people his enemies? Psalm 68:1, to the chief musician, a song or a song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. So God actually has enemies. Psalm 68:21, but God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such as one that goeth in, out into his stead of his trespasses. Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. My goodness. Can you imagine the Lord standing there as the general, the captain of the Lord's host? And he stands and he roars. Well, if he roars, I want to be behind him, don't you? And I ain't talking like 3 miles in the shadows where nobody knows. If he'll let me, I'll stand right there with him. I may not be able to roar like him. I may sound like a little putty cat, but I'll tell you when the roar, he may roar and thunders. I may go roar. He said, that's all right, Donnie. Go ahead and roar. Go ahead and roar, Donnie. Amen. I'm not a king yet. Maybe I'm not mature yet, but I want to stand there like a little lion, and I want to go around. Hallelujah. Wow. 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 Some of y'all's way, way back. You coward. When you look like that, people don't know if you're roaring and you got a kidney stone. But roar! Let your voice known be known for truth. Isaiah 66:14, when we shall see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. God forbid that I ever have my name on the list of God's enemies. Thanks to our short tenure of life, I've been on the list of many people. He's being one of their targeted enemies. But I'll be able to make it as long as he's on my side. But if I'm on his list of enemies, oh God. Nahum 1:2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Verse 8. But with an overrunning flood, he shall make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Brother Eric, or brother back on the computer there, let's skip a few verses here. I want you to come down where it says prophecy about Brother Branham in the 11th commandment book. Now let's move from the scriptures for a few moments. Let's go to the city of Tacoma in the state of Washington. The year 1960. The people of God of that area have been sent the mercy of God in a form of a revival. But as always, the leaders don't accept what God sent. Brother Branham had just finished preaching the sermon, We Would See Jesus, and the audience was in profound silence. You can find this in the little book, The 11th Commandment. Nay, no one moved, not a whisper heard. When God is about to speak, he calls a holy hush. Even Brother Branham, who had been speaking softly, suddenly stopped. Then all of a sudden, a voice was heard from the far balcony. There was no need of a microphone, for God had opened each ear, as it seemed. The airwaves carried it plainly to ear and heart of all present. Let me quote it exactly, word for word, as recorded on my tape recorder. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. Yea, saith the Lord. But this my people, now this is not Brother Branham saying this. This is someone there in the meeting. That my servant whom I have sent, even unto thee, even unto this generation, he must speak boldly even as Paul to convince these that I have sent him to. Yea, for I have sent him, my servant Branham. I have put my words in his mouth, even as I have sent my son to die. And my people rejected him. Even so have I sent my son Branham. Even in this thy day, unto these he hath come. Yeah. Yea, they have assembled together. They have met in their secret chambers. The leaders of my people. Now this must have been a pretty serious thing. Because now God is going to tell some of these preachers what they talked about. The leaders of my people. You notice he didn't call them his leaders. He called them the leaders of his people. Not my leaders to my people, but leaders of my people. Have counseled together. They have passed judgment even upon him. They have said in their secret chambers, we will reject him. We will seek a fault with him. We shall find many faults with him, and we shall teach our people. We shall tell them that this also is Beelzebub. Yea, it is not the Spirit of the Lord that has sent him. So will I judge them even by my servant Branham, whom I have sent unto thee. Now, if you want to be on God's enemy list, you go ahead. But remember, he knows what you talk about in your secret meetings. He knows what you say. He knows your charges and your accusations. So if you want to be, go right ahead. And one day this may be said about you. Oh my, for I put my spirit in my servants. And if thou dost not yield to my spirit, thou shalt be broken. But if thou shalt fall upon thee, if the word of the Lord shall fall upon thee, thou shalt be crushed, and thy house shall be left unto thee desolate. This is the rock. Yea, if thou shalt fall upon it, thou shalt be broken. But if it doth fall upon thee, it will grind thee to powder. And thus saith the Lord, even unto those who have assembled together, thus saith the Lord unto those that call themselves by those who have been filled with my spirit. Notice how God is directing this. They say they've got the Holy Ghost. They call themselves a spirit filled. I guarantee you one thing, friends. This wasn't a party going on that night. This wasn't a time when God was happy and God was rejoicing. When God declares a war, may I be on the right side. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy, God. For ye have been my people. I have blessed thee. I have anointed thee. But thou hast gathered together and hast rejected the servant of the Lord that I have sent unto thee. Even by sending him will I judge thee. Lord God, children, don't you realize? By God sending a prophet to this generation, by that very thing will condemn the generation. And thy house shall be desolate even in this day and this hour. For thou shalt call for revival, but the ear of the Lord shall not hearken unto thee. For when I did call unto thee, thou didst not know me. Why? It was the word of this day. Now this is 1960 when this is being said. So it was the revival for that time. And instead of hearing it, said, he's a devil. He's a Beelzebub. We'll find faults with him. Oh, that spirit ain't dead, is it? Thou wouldest be a strange people unto me when I would speak unto thee. Yea, thou hast become even as my people when I stood and cast out devils and healed the sick and broke bread and multiplied it in thine eyes. Thou hast said, he has a devil. So here's the Lord Jesus. Through the gift of this person's life, the Lord Jesus addressing this congregation, the same Lord Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee and said, when I stood among you and cast out devils and healed the sick, you said this about me. Now you're saying the same thing about me again in another form. Glory to God. Lord, let this be me. But unto him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For I will speak unto thee. I will send my servants unto thee. Now those of you that said amen, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, about Brother Branham, if you don't receive the rest of this prophecy, then you're a hypocrite. You're only picking out what parts you want. You're no worse. You're no better than the rest of them are. The same Spirit of God that said my servant Branham also said I will send my servants, plural. Glory. I will send my servants unto thee, and they shall bless thee, and thou shalt be gathered unto me. Thou shalt be blessed mightily as thou hast never been. I can say amen to that. Cast from thee the thinking of men and the ways of men and turn to the Lord. I wish I could say to you today that I've always been such an obedient son. I've always minded.
And I've always done everything he told me. But I can't. There's been times I've missed him. Times I've said things I shouldn't have said. And probably should have said things that I didn't say. You know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing I found out. If I repent and acknowledge my wrong, God will never speak to me in this tone of voice. It shows that these people deserved public rebuke. And their intent was not to prophesy. This is not with the character of God. In dealing with people who will repent and make this right, God would have never uttered this publicly before hundreds and hundreds of people if these preachers was going to repent. But can you imagine now God has made them his enemy? These preachers no doubt kept on shaking, talking in tongues, studying, and preaching for sermons. But they was now on God's hit list. Warring against darkness. And you can imagine a preacher. And they all get together before the prophet of God comes. And they decide, we're going to call this man a Beelzebub. Little do they know they're under the influence of demon spirits. I'm glad God didn't have Brother Branham to do this. I'm glad God moved on somebody sitting way up in the auditorium, way up high. These same words apply today to people who are doing exactly the same thing. Look, children, if I'm a son of God and people declare war on me, they're not declaring war on me. They're declaring war on me and my daddy. If you're a daughter of God, a son of God, they make fun of you, sister, by the way you dress and what you do. Don't think that this battle is just you. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And when they attack you and run you down and do whatever more and try to cause you persecution, what would be in anybody's heart to want to cause harm to another human being? What would be in anybody's heart to want to bring distress and trouble and all that? It can't be the Holy Ghost. How could it be? When Jesus come to lift people's burdens and make life easier for people. Can you imagine then when the army of Satan challenges the army of God? You think God's just going to sit back and cross his arms and say, well, I'm awful busy up here. I ain't really got time to fool with it. You might ought to take the great teaching and the inspiration of a man 2,000 years ago, and I'll close with this. When Jesus had gone and now the instrumentality had become the church. They was threatening this church and said, we'll do this and that and the other. And a great Pharisee stands up among them and said, men and brethren, you do remember Thaddeus. You do remember this man and that man. My advice to you would be this. If this is of men, it will come to naught. But if this be of God and you fight against it, you will find yourselves fighting against God. Is that what you want? Is there anybody in this building today so foolish? Has your senses so departed from you that you would walk up to Almighty God and say, I challenge you to a duel? Oh, you say, I never do that to God. When you challenge his church, you're saying it to God. I'm not a violent man. Never was on fighting. That's just not my cup of tea. But I'll tell you one thing. If anybody come up to my wife at Walmart or Food City at the grocery store and they go to hitting on her and beating on her and she calls me on her cell phone, Donnie, please help me. Help me. I guarantee you one thing. I'll do everything in my power to get there as soon as I can. Because she's my wife. You call God's children devils. You call the prophet of God a Beelzebub. You're not challenging William Branham. You're not challenging Donnie Reagan. Who's Donnie Reagan? A handful of dust. But to challenge God's truth. Then God puts all the host of heaven on red alert.
So it's for me and my house. I'm reporting for duty. Private first class Kentucky hillbilly tank tote fetch holler pack soldier in the army of the Lord. Marching to the rhythm of Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 10. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 10. Hallelujah. I've been through boot camp. I've been through training. Now I'm ready to go on the field. I don't know about you, but I know one thing. My last battle is laying right in front of me. My battle's not with you. My battle is not with people who left this word. My battle is with demons. Demons of darkness.
Let me read this again. This last portion, because I trust all of us fit here. But to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. For I will speak unto thee. I will send my servants unto thee, and they shall bless thee. And thou shalt be gathered unto me. Amen. Friends, our banner is not Brother Branham. We're not rallying around Happy Valley or some other preacher. Our banner is the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham never died for us. Brother Branham never gave us the Holy Ghost. He was a human being and made mistakes like all the rest of us do. He is not our rallying point. Our rallying point is this word. Right. I will send my servants unto thee. They shall bless thee, and thou shalt be gathered unto me. Thou shalt be blessed mightily, as thou hast never been. I don't know about you, but for me, I can say, I have never been more blessed since I come to this word. Maybe for some of you, it's bondage and all, my, you just can't wait to leave. Well, leave. Good night. If you're that miserable, go get drunk. Go out and smoke dope. I mean, if Jesus Christ is not the greatest joy of your life, get out of here and leave us alone. If you're so miserable serving God, then go on out and get drunk, buddy. Do whatever it is you're wanting to do. I love serving God. I love getting filled with the presence of God. I love listening to tapes. Maybe you don't do it. I love listening to the prophet of God. I love standing the message of the hour. I love living for God. Hallelujah. And if you're not happy here, then go somewhere after church and do whatever it is you want to do. Instead of being so miserable. There ain't no need in being miserable. You're going to hell too. I mean, if you're going to go to hell, go big time. Don't you see how foolish that is? See, you laugh when I say it, but by your behavior, it's the way you act. Some of you are more happy in Walmart than you are in church. You're more happy at Lowe's. You're more happy at a football game. There's something wrong with your experience. This ought to be the happiest place in your life. The house of God. The Word of God. The presence of the Lord. Not just so much this church. I'm talking about wherever you go. Warring against rulers. Wrestling. Now remember, you're this little bitty tiny guy. Sister, whatever you are, in comparison. And this big demon, this big Samoya wrestler, weighs 1,782 pounds and 14 ounces. And you weigh 135. His arm is bigger than your waist. His eyeball bigger than your foot. And he stands there and growls, and you just tremble and shake.
Then all of a sudden you reach down in your little pouch and you pull out that slang. And your flesh looks at that and says, dear God, if he ever gets a hold of me, what, he'll tear me to bug bites. But your soul says, a head that big, how could you miss it? I imagine David was like us when this was over. He's probably thinking, dear Lord, did I just do that? You ever come through spots and you look back and think, I can't believe I just came through that. And I survived. I'm alive. Because it wasn't you. It was him. Because the battle ain't ours. It's his. Let's pray together. I made a lot to be remembered today for strength. For courage. Lance Parker had to leave the service today. Him and Ellie both had to leave because they're sick. They want us to pray for them. Lord Jesus, I pray today, Lord, that something was said that would help these soldiers in their battle. I know some of these brothers and even a few of these sisters here have been in the military of our nation. So they could be able to relate to it in the natural sense better than I could, since I was never called into any branch of the military. But Father, I pray for each of us, whether we've been in the natural military or not, may we accept the challenge of the day, of this hour, to stand for truth. Lord Jesus, I ask, give us wisdom, strength. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. If I've ever aimed my battle, my warfare against humans, forgive these people. Because we realize we got diverted and sidetracked when we done it. Our real enemy is powers and principalities and demons. Oh Lord, sometimes I wish he had a face. I wish I could grab a hold of him somehow. But that's the human part trying to fight the battle. But help us to realize we can conquer an unseen force by the power of another unseen force. Dear Jesus, may you minister to your people today. Strength, courage, no matter what part of the battlefield they're in. If it's a housewife, a farmer, factory worker, computer technician, whatever they do, may you meet them in their challenges, Lord. I pray for Lance and Ellie today, Lord, they're having to leave service because of being sick. May the presence of God, I pray, move for them, Lord. Maybe there's others here today in the service or others that'll stream. Maybe they're sick. Lord, we don't want to forget that audience out there on the internet. Dear God, may your presence go right there to their home, to the car. Those that'll get these CDs or DVDs and maybe arrive down in South Africa a month after day or whatever more. May the presence of God, I pray. You've got an army all over the world. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we can march and we'll not rally behind Donnie Reagan. We'll not rally behind Brother Branham. We'll not rally behind this man or that man or this gift or that gift or this singer or that singer. But it'll be Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. We're able to meet this challenge because of the work you've done for us at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Lord, we thank you for that great work and we thank you as you're unfolding yourself even today. Minister strength to your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What about it, soldiers? Can we raise our hands in the presence of our King? I'm told that when Robert E. Lee would come among his troops, they had such an admiration and an honor for him. They would be awed by the presence of the great general. Adolf Hitler, when he would stand and speak to the people, he had a technique that he would do. He would stand there from 45 seconds to a minute or a minute and a half. And the anticipation of those Germans would come to such a place that you could feel it building among them, they say, because of the respect they had for this man. He had an evil, terrible agenda. But it shows the strength of leaders, whether they are right or wrong. Well, if they could do that around a man to murder and destroy and annihilate, should not our rallying around the Lord Jesus be around one of such dedication? Not just screaming and hollering and running. We love all that too. But should not it be a dedication of our lives and of our motives and our objectives? That he would lead his troops in this battle against the foe. Which is not Baptist people, Methodist people, Church of God people, Trinitarian people, people in our church, people in our assembly, or people who've left our assembly. That's the human side. That's the weaker side of war. That's the weaker side. I want to transcend that side and deal with the cause behind it. And deal with spirits. Amen. I mean, it wants to be a better soldier in the war that we're fighting. Oh, Jesus, would you lay your hand on the person standing near you? There is no telling what that person is going through. Man, woman, boy or girl, married, single, divorced, whatever their status is, rich, poor. No telling what some of you brought to church this day, burdens on your hearts and lives. Let us, as your brothers and sisters, help carry a little bit of that for you today. May we be able to offer a sincere, heartfelt prayer for you. I don't want you praying for yourself now, but I want you to pray from your heart with that brother or sister that you've got your hand laid upon. Go ahead, pray for them. Lord Jesus. Maybe some come here today, Lord, and I thought this would be my last service. I'm so discouraged. I'm so down. But may they leave with new courage, Lord. May they hear the cry, the shout of Adonai. May they hear Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. May they know that same one that Joshua met that day when he drew his sword and he said, are you for us or against us? He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Oh, great captain, will you move among us today, Lord? As Paul called you the captain of our salvation. May you pass among us today, Lord, with strength and courage. Lord, we admit there's been times we wished it'd be easier. I certainly have. There's been times I wish I could have been sent to the kitchen as it was and peel taters for a while and just make bread and do something out of the line of fire. It's dangerous out here, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for those moments of weakness. God, give us strength, I pray. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for taking shots at each other. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to take this battle to YouTube or to Facebook or whatever more. And say things against the people we go to church with or people who say things against us. May we realize, Lord, when we do that, we are fighting flesh and blood. Them demons don't care about that sort of thing. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. Teach us how to trench in when we need to. Teach us how to march. Teach us every command, Lord, that we know what to do. The token message worked there when they're coming out of the land of Egypt. But now when they're facing the Red Sea, they need a word fresh from God. When they come up to Amalek, they need a different word. Help us, Father, to see prophecy continuously unfolds itself. Lord Jesus, teach us. Teach us here in 2014, Lord. Teach us how to war. Lord, our young people face things that people my age and even their own parents, never in the world would we have known how to deal with it in our day. Never even thought things possible. Teach our young people, Lord. Teach them how to fight. And teach them how to win, Lord. Help the youth leaders of our church here, Lord. Help every minister, the deacons, the trustees. Lord, the library staff, the Sunday school teachers, all of us. Realize we're battling things that we never battled when I first come here 20 some years ago. The different front. The war has changed. Teach us, Lord God. Oh God, I need your help more than all of them, Father.
Help me, God. I have the capability, Lord, of leading the church in the wrong direction. As a commanding officer, I have the ability to lead them in the wrong direction. Lord, if you say charge and I retreat. Lord, if you say to the left and I go to the right, I've totally missed your command. We still might be in the war, but in the wrong direction you wanted us to be. Help me, God. Help me that I never get to a spot that I think I can do it without you. Help me, Lord, to never be confident in my own ability. Help me, Lord. Teach me how to war, Father. Teach my fingers how to fight. For I do believe the Lord is still a man of war. Hallelujah. And you give existence to your promises. For you are the self-existing one. And when the word of a day comes into life, you are the one who gives that word existence. So the promises of this day that laid in the Bible, they laid there for years and years as seeds, not quickened. But when the time arrived, Jehovah Jireh overshadowed those promises. And you gave those promises existence. Existence. Then those who are of the self-existing one, they will be germatized to the existing scriptures pertaining to the light of the day. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So you've heard where I stand. Now I need to hear from you. As a church body, do we regress? Do we compromise and go back because it's just getting too hard? Do we change our standards of holiness and many things which causes us to be laughed at and made fun of? I'm not a fool. I got enough sense to know I'm a gifted preacher. I got enough sense to know that we got gifted people here, that if we'd compromise certain things, we'd have to build a church three times this big to hold the people. I ain't wanting a crowd. I'm wanting the cloud. And I want wisdom. I want strength. Sure, there's a way to deal with things. I've got enough sense to know that. But I wonder how great he would be with us. Would he be satisfied? So you tell me, do we go on? Do we stand on the promise? Do we reaffirm our commitment to Jesus Christ? And say we will not compromise, though it costs us our fame, our position in society. I never had one of them anyhow, so I ain't got to worry about that. Most of you don't worry about society no how, do you? We're more concerned about our place in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, I want the young people of this church to have the same experience with God that I had when I was a young man. I don't want them to be able to take a tour of a museum of my experience or a museum of yours. I want them to meet God in the same living way and get the Holy Ghost in the same living way and see the power of God moving in this church the way He's always moved.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Then I reiterate to you His words before I let you go. The Lord shall fight for you. For the battle is not yours, but it is His. Don't take it out of His hands. Don't try to outmaneuver Him. Your greatest ability is to surrender. And that's when we are most vulnerable. We feel vulnerable as human beings when we surrender. And it's the greatest of our virtues. Praise God. Turn around and shake hands with a fellow soldier. Say, God bless you, pilgrim. God bless you, brother, sister. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, you preacher brothers. You singers. Deacon brothers, trustees, saints. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. You believe it?
Praise be to God. Sing something.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be standing by your side.
By your side, Lord.
Holding your hand. So let your kingdom
yes,
come.
Father.
Let it live in me. This is my prayer.
Let's sing it, children.
This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my
all. Oh, yes! Hallelujah!
I surrender to the King.
Glory!
Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing.
Let's sing it to him now.
I'm surrendering my all.
Oh, my all.
I surrender to the King.
Amen.
Father, I hear it growing louder.
And louder.
The song of your redeemed. As the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing.
All worship in vain.
I'm surrendering.
He is our banner. He is our strength.
Whoa. I surrender to the King.
To my King.
Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Oh, Lord, sing it again. Oh, let the worshipers arise.
Let the worshipers arise.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Let the sons and daughters sing.
I surrender. I surrender. Sons and the daughters sing.
Sons and daughters sing.
I'm surrendering my all.
I give you my all.
I surrender to the King. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord. How many consider it the greatest honor of your life to be in the army of the Lord? God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Service Wednesday night. Come expecting the Lord to move. Let me tell you something. Just because you're in this army don't mean you can do what you want to do, dress any way you want to dress. When you join the military, whatever nation it is, they tell you what to wear. The army drives a certain dress. The Air Force has a certain dress. The Marines has a certain dress. The Navy has a certain dress. Each one of them has their own color. They have their own hat. Come on. The army of the Lord has certain requirements they must do. They got to get up at a certain time. They got to do a certain time. Any of y'all ever read the requirements of the honor guard who stand there and march back and forth and back and forth and back and forth at the tomb of the unknown soldier? You think it's a requirement to live this message, you ought to read what they have to go through. They can't drink. They can't smoke. They've got to iron their clothes. They've got to one thing after another, after another, after another. But they count it such an honor to be able to stand there because of the identification. If they can do that in the army of the United States of America, what about the army of the Most High God? What can He ask of us to do that is too great? Nothing. Nothing. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. It's been a privilege for us to be together this weekend, hasn't it? Let's sing it together as we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord willing, Wednesday I'll see you. You're worshiping God.
Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. Standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and daughters sing. Surrender.